except you have to release me from my nether. I promise you, get spoken today. Not 1,000% sure at this point whether it'll happen or not, but we'll try. We'll push at least to grind it in a little bit. But yes, the strong hints from the outside. Okay, so we even having devoted 2 days halacha lemaisa to Borer, we still didn't finish. And I don't want to carry that over to another Sunday, so let's just quickly, there were a few points just to mention in terms of Borer, and then we will try to bring in Tochen. How did everybody do with the Marmar Kalmos in terms of Tochen? Anybody finish both lists? Yep. Okay, so we'll probably add a little bit for tomorrow, especially at this rate. But just a few more halachic points. One of the questions about Borer that was asked a lot has to do with fish bones. So somebody wants to take out fish bones before eating fish. So that seems to be a issue of solas mitochocha. So that's basically the way you do it. You're taking the bones out, so aren't you getting rid of the psolas from the ochel and not the normally halachically required way of ochel mitoch psolas. So here you basically find two attitudes which are not that far apart. There are those who allow it, and those who are hesitant, but in the end of the day, pretty much allow it as well. So that strikes me as being basically the scope of use here. Now, the desire to avoid this shaila has given a great gift to the world in the form of gefilte fish. Right? So those of us who enjoy gefilte fish can thank Hilchos Borer, have the need to have fish on Shabbos that doesn't require you to take bones out, which is dumb. A nicer experience, anyway. Sorry, so that's the one thing, right? So that's one thing you can thank Borer for. But even if you don't have gefilte fish, so again, I think the range of opinions is pretty much that way. That bir halacha is melamed zchus on people who do this. The Chazon Ish has a kasha on his exact svara. Rav Vosner has a tshuva defending Mishnah Berurah's limud zchus. So there are many who feel. This is Mutter. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, that same tshuva in Ayin Dalet, Chelek Dalet Ayin Dalet, where he has a lot of small nekudas on Hilchos Shabbos. So he is hesitant. He says, when you're giving to ketanim, so you can do it that way, because that's really the only way to feed somebody else, is to take out the bones first. For yourself, and the two issues here, which are not exactly the same, but are often discussed together, are pits in, let's say, avocados or watermelons or something like that, where again you have a psolos mitoch ochel consideration, or fish bones. So there are differences between the two cases, but they are often discussed together. So Rav Moshe did feel that, and Rav Nevensal also, and thank Jonathan for bringing me the sefer from Eretz Yisrael, both take a similar attitude that they would prefer that you did spit out the bones afterwards or spit out the seeds afterwards. So to avoid solos mitoch ochel questions. But again, they also do both seem as if you find it impossible to do it that way, that strictly speaking, this is essentially derech achila in this case to have a solos mitoch ochel, and this is a situation where we could allow it.
Hi. We're talking about what, when it's on your plate? Like, what stage are they?
Yeah, it's on your plate. You want to eat this fish right now that has bones. So you want to take the bones out so you can put the fish in your mouth. So strictly speaking, you're really taking the psolas out of the ochel. So that's not normally what we allow. But in this case, it's really derech achila that way, because you're going to pick up the fish that's going to come to the bones otherwise, and you don't want to have them in your mouth. So maybe this is a more narrow situation than what we normally talk about, and that maybe that can be acceptable. So I think Sammy, then Nate.
So two questions. Mm-hmm. Would this also mean by chicken it would be the same thing?
Strictly speaking, it's a little bit of a structural question to what extent.
Meaning, the reason that I would be mechalik is because the chicken, the bones are much bigger, mm-hmm. and they're not as small. You're not like going to be eating the bone while you're eating the meat, but in the fish, it's very possible that you'll be eating the fish while eating the bone because it's very thin.
Right. So you think it's even more derech achila to take the bones out in that case.
For the fish.
Yeah, could be.
Because you want to eat it normal. But the chicken, you don't necessarily need to do that.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
But also, let's say for somebody, like for chicken, for example, somebody is allergic to, their gluten or something like that, and they have a piece of schnitzel, right? The chicken itself is fine. Mm. But they just have to take off the
Breading.
Chicken. So would that be also would that be considered derech hafila for them in order because that's the only way to do it?
Yeah, presumably.
So they would just be able to totally take it off without a problem, and then they would be able to eat it.
Yeah, I mean, there they really could still just take each bite without, you know, push away the outside. You could do it in a siluk fashion.
Kind of chicken also.
Right, so it seems like it's pretty straightforward. You could do it also.
I'm talking about like a patty, like a schnitzel patty. Not
right, and it's all you have to get past it in order to get what you want. Right, so it seems also to be a siluk hatter, you know, that you can separate, you can get away what's in your way to get to what you need. I think it was Nate and Michael. Okay. The game of chicken over there, yeah?
I don't understand the distinction. Rambam was of the opinion that psalm from
Mocha
is
awesome. Correct, right. So normally psalm, right, so that's the problem. That normally that's the case. So here, that's why these such as Ramosha and Rav Devenzal are hesitant. They really would prefer that you don't do it that way. But if it's really a situation where you find that basically impossible to do it, so then maybe this is a more narrow type of situation where the really, why do we say it's got to be ochel mitoch psolos? Because we're assuming that's derech achila. When you do it psolos mitoch ochel, so then that's really not derech achila. But maybe there's some foods which it's really so difficult to do it ochel mitoch psolos that essentially becomes derech achila. So you have those who say that straight out. And those who begrudgingly will say that if your mamish can't get around it. So that's what I was saying before. I think the range basically is between those two views, that those who the chachila are fine with it, those who will also allow it if you have established that it's essentially not possible to do it any other way. Hi.
Why don't they just say don't have it? Meaning, if it seems to be bo'er,
right,
and you really want to have fish, but so what?
So you see, that gets back to the whole derech chachila point, that the nature of these malachas, we won't say all malachas because you know you can't cook for this purpose, but the nature of Borer and maybe Tochen also, as we'll see, but let's say Tochen also, so I can be Mekayim my Neder to start Tochen today. But, there are certain malachos which the very nature is that it's not Achila. And therefore, by definition, it can't be that you can't eat just because of this. That if you're not able to go about your normal eating because of this issue, so then by definition, it's Mutter. By definition, it's not the Malacha, it's Achila.
So then the barometer of how much we say to avoid it would be, like, you know, if you're eating watermelon, which is really annoying, you never eat watermelon like that, so then you just take them out.
That essentially, it seems to be that you would come to that conclusion, that basically anything where it's so not possible derech achila that you feel you can't eat it because of the shayla, so then essentially it would come out that would be derech achila, that might be a good...
Not possible, or just you wouldn't do it? I mean, if I wasn't able to take the bones out, I could, I just really liked it, so I just wouldn't have it. So...
Again, it seems to be that you're not required to abstain from eating because of Borer Shilas. Now, how many malachas are subject to that? Again, if you left your food in another building and there's no Eruv, so we're not going to let you carry it for that reason. We're not going to let you cook it for that reason. But there are certain malachas, which at least Borer, we saw this is where there was some room of machlokas, but there are some malachas that seem to be defined by not being achilah. And when they're achilah, it's a different story. I think Ari was up first, then Sammy.
I used to see him in the train. He asked my question. So.
Okay. People are being very coordinated here when they have this line, so they tend to follow in line of the same previous person's question.
Now,
Sammy.
I just wanted to clarify on my own question, the chicken.
Yeah.
So would it mean that it would be mutter to take out the bones before?
I mean, again, the question, again, just comes down to a subjective question of how much you compare the chicken to the fish.
Right.
So you could argue that chicken is less of a tzarech to do it, and again, if you're coming from the attitude that this really shouldn't be allowed, except that it's really a tzarech, then you'd be more hesitant to allow it for the chicken. So it's a little bit, again, a question of understanding how you came to the conclusions that you come to. Rav Abadi has in his Chuvis, if you ever had a chance to look at his Chuvis or Yitzchak, I think Gil mentioned them before, so sometimes they're very short, sometimes he goes into things a little bit more. So he, right away, is makel on the seeds, the pits, and the bones. And he says, because it's derech achila. And he mentions something we shouldn't forget, it's derech eris to eat that way. If it's disgusting, it's physically possible, but it's simply not within the realm of manners and table etiquette. It's also called derech achila. Derech achila is not just about what's physically possible, but it's reasonable to say that derech eretz is also a component of the derech achila, and if this is going to freak everybody out, so then maybe that's also considered not to be derech achila. Michael, you're
to what extent can you use that, though?
flood it.
Well, how often does that come up? How often does it come up that there's...
watermelon.
Right.
Just spitting out the seeds.
That's, that is what he's talking about.
Oh.
Right, so that's an example. That's one of the things he includes. As I mentioned, most of these shilas are discussed together. The Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa happens to mention that he thinks that the watermelons are a little bit more makel, the seeds are a little bit more makel than the fish, because it's harder to get around the seeds issue than it is to get around the fish issue. And it's harder to figure out exactly how to separate in your mouth the seeds and spit them out than it is to get the meat off of the bone. So while a lot of posts can consider these to be identical questions, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa does make note of that point, that it's even more of a svara to be makel based on the impossibility of doing it other ways by the seeds, as you mentioned. Not an example of how far you could go, but an example of really the key issue, even more so than the fish. Sammy, you're up. Somebody up over here. Donnie?
Just in terms of the Darren Harris thing, how far do we go? And also, doesn't that change with... Darren Harris is sort of nebulous.
It is, right. Clearly, there are societies where they don't care about certain things, but I think it's valid. He doesn't go much into detail about what he's talking about, but I think it's valid in saying that this is the way normal people eat under normal circumstances. This is the way everybody in the society is going to eat, even if it's subjective in terms of a century earlier in a different country they didn't do it that way. But the bottom line is, this is the way you eat on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and this is the way everyone eats because it's considered to be derech eretz. So we don't have to define derech achila as it's impossible to eat any other way. We can define it as this is the way people eat, and this is the way people eat normally, and that's also a valid definition. Rav Nosson Gishtetner also has a tshuva about the fish and the seeds, and he doesn't say an absolute bottom line. This is in Chelek Zion, I think it's in Siman Chav Gimel. He has a couple of tshuvas about Borer and Tochen, so at this rate tomorrow we'll probably talk about his Tochen tshuvas a little bit. But he, I think it's Chav Gimel. So he talks about this issue as well. And without spelling out exactly what he thinks the bottom line is, he says that in terms of the fish bones, he thinks there are many stodim lahakel that you could put together. That you could, again, factor in the view that psolos mitoch ochel is mutter la'alter, even if that's not the majority view normally followed. You could also put in the view that psolos mitoch ochel is mutter b'shas achila mamish, which maybe this certainly seems to qualify as. As we discussed so far, there may be a standard where even la'alter is more time than this, so that maybe this is even closer to eating than la'alter, as we discussed. And at that point, by the way, there is a machlokas, and we mentioned the Maria Balafia when we talked about that. So the Birki Yosef, who quotes the Chidah, the Birki Yosef doesn't like that view so much. He's not so ready to be makel for that. So there is a contemporary Sfardi Talmud Chacham, the Tshuvas Mechkerei Aretz, where he talks about that issue. And he thinks even the Birki Yosef would agree that if you have something that's not just one unit, you pick it up and it comes with it, that there, Shas Achil Mamish, you can separate them. So that should be factored in as well. And then Gishtetner in the Lahor Rus Nasan, he throws in one other factor also, that there is a view in Rishonim that's something, this is not a kula that we've been relying on till now, but again, because he's adding up various machlokas and to throw in, that's something that's not the type that you're going to ever put away in a storage house. It's not the la'otzer standard. So then there isn't an iser borer to begin with. So here you have, let's say, cooked fish. So once the fish is already cooked, you're not going to put this in your closet. You're going to eat it. So he thinks that there's a tzad to say, even if you wouldn't rely on this by itself, that's not subject to borer. So putting all those things together, that psolos mitoch ochel may always be mutter la'alter, or maybe this is better than la'alter, or maybe this isn't subject to borer itself. So that, he says, there are many tzadim to be makel about this. Sammy had a question first. Or? Okay, Gil?
Well, it's like something like cut off fruit. There's a fruit salad, you're never going to be putting that in storage.
So again, that's why I think no one relies on this by itself. But he's saying putting all this together, that the ideal model, the ideal negative model of Borer La'otzer is not really relevant here, and it doesn't have, as you know, what the Gemara says, And, we mentioned the first time the Gemara has the funny language, which sounds like it's a Drabbanan language, right? Nase kibor lootzer sounds like a Drabbanan language, but it's not talking on a level of Drabbanan. But apparently, we have to figure out how to read that within a Daraisa definition. That the Daraisa definition is that which is in the model of Borer lootzer. So too, you could there is a view in Rishonim that seems to make that distinction. So he thinks that's also something to throw into the mix. No pun intended. Yeah.
The Birkei Yosef Rebbe was saying that he doesn't like the Hatar Bachilam Anush.
Yeah, he argues on that. We talked about the Maria Balafi was quoted in the Chuvas Mari Tats. So he doesn't seem to be willing to rely on that by itself. Okay, so this is also relevant to the question of peels, peeling off the peels of fruit. So here also you have a range of views. Also, which tilt towards kula. The range is a little bit different. There are those who feel it's not subject to borer at all, and there are those who feel that it is subject to borer, but that it's mutter l'alter, which is a little bit of a chiddush, because that also does seem to be a psolas mitoch ochel situation. You're taking away the peel first before eating what's inside. You could maybe call that siluk too, but I have to figure out what that applies to. But here, so most are willing to allow that much and to recognize that that's also a derech achila kind of situation. It's essentially impossible for you to eat the inside of the fruit and then discard the peel from your mouth. So that's considered to be a factor. Also, the question is different types of fruits. Some fruits people would eat with the peel anyway, like an apple, and some fruits are different. So that also factors into the equation. The Aruch HaShulchan was one who was makel on peeling fruits in general, not perceiving this really as a borer issue at all. He notes there is a Yerushalmi that talks about peeling fruits that sounds like there's an issue of borer, but he says that what's going on in that Yerushalmi is that you have a lot of fruits and you are peeling them all at once, and then you have all the peels and the fruits together in a big pile, and then you have to select out the fruits from the peels. So then you have a borer issue within this big mess of peels and fruits, but the idea of simply taking the peel off of one fruit at a time doesn't seem to him to be subject to borer considerations. Rav Abadi has a very interesting tshuva where he also is nota to that view that it's mutter. But let's say you say that it is a borer issue, right? So then it's borer issue, so then it's subject to the conditions of borer, so it would have to be la'alter, and it would have to be not bekli. So if it's not bekli, so does that mean, so let's say you could still use a knife because we decided a knife maybe is similar to a yada richta, it's basically like your fingernails. But what about a peeler? You have an object that's called a peeler, it seems to be a kli hamiyuchad the peeling. So if you decide that peeling is an act of borer, so should we say that a peeler is a kli of borer? So it certainly seems like it, right? It seems like that's the definition of what a kli hamiyuchad for borer is. And of course, there are certainly poskim who take that view. There are certainly svarim that say that, as you'd expect, that maybe you can cut a peel off with a knife, but you shouldn't use a peeler. However, if a body happens to think in a very interesting tshuva that he thinks a peeler is fine, because even though it's called a peeler, but it doesn't do anything different than a knife really does, and there are people who prefer to use knives than peelers, so it doesn't really have a better peeling experience than the knife does, so it's his opinion that this is not considered to be a violation of the Kli clause, and he's equally okay with using a peeler as with a knife. And again, there are others who disagree. So basically, just see the range of views. There are those who feel that peeling fruit is not an issue at all, so it's not subject to any limitations. There are those who feel that it is an act of borer, so it's mutter under the three conditions. And in terms of those three conditions, so there's some debate about whether or not a peeler would violate the kli condition. Probably the majority would say that it would, but Rav Abadi with his interesting position that it would not violate the kli condition. Hi.
I heard that Rabon also talks about
the same way. Okay, very good. So that's definitely for us a very major voice to add to the discussion. Another major issue that's often asked, maybe this will be our last borer question, we'll have a minute to get to Tochen, it can be Mekayim, our commitment. So, what about Brita water filters? So here also the general attitude is to allow them. mostly the most often invoked svara is that it doesn't really affect whether you're going to drink it or not. Most people would drink the water with or without the filtering. So the added filtering, maybe some people are not so sure, but the added filtering doesn't seem to make or break whether you're going to drink it. Rav Abadi, I'll mention him one last time here, has a tshuva about that as well, where he's also makel, and he also puts in the svara that you can't perceive what's being filtered out. Since it's not visible to the eye, it essentially doesn't count. And that opens up a Pandora's box, of course, in terms of the Yerodea Shilas that are involved in terms of bugs and the like that are not perceptible to the eye. I am not looking to open that Pandora's box here, but he does, and the truth, he happens to allude to it, and he quotes Aruch HaShulchan, who is speaking in that context, in the context of Yerodea, and about the issue of bugs in your food, and the Aruch HaShulchan that he quotes is not worried about insects, she'ein ha'ayin sholetes, that if your eye does not see them, your naked eye doesn't see them, so maybe not mechuyav to use a microscope and the like. But then the question, of course, there's a subjective issue there, which is so far out of our scope, microscope or the like, that we're not going to talk about it, but in case it's occurring to you that maybe this has some relevance to the Yerodea issues, so it possibly does. He does invoke that topic there. But there's a lot to define within that, so that's not our discussion today. But yes, there is some overlap between that Yerodea question and the Borer question that maybe is something that filters out impurities or insects that you can't see may not be subject to Borer. That's what he is positing here, and maybe that has Yerodea implications also. Hi.
What about the New York water?
Yeah.
There's first the follow-up question of whether you have to filter it in the first place.
Right, so that's outside of our...
Right, no, that's outside. So according to those people who you would have to filter it, right? Now, is this, even with Rav Abadi's, is it considered that it's visible or not in order that you would be able to use when your body's subject to filter or...
Yeah, so my guess is he would still consider that to be essentially invisible, especially because also that's his secondary svar. So his first svar is that I think people would drink it anyway. So in terms of the water, halachic issues aside, right? So I assume I could hear the question, but I assume he's saying that since the halachic issues aside, clearly people, millions and millions of people in New York City are drinking this water, so they're not. There's no general kapeda to get rid of it, so it's, and even all the people would be drinking it if it wasn't for the kashrus concern that was raised. So I assume he would see it the same way. Hi.
So we only go by what most people would drink it as. If you personally would never drink it, it's not much, right?
It gets a little murkier if you would mamish never drink it, because then...
Make a trip to Mexico or something.
Right, so it gets a little bit to Ochel and Solo's questions. So that gets a little bit murkier, so I'm going to leave that unresolved. But if we ever go to Mexico. But let's, for now... Right, so I'm going to leave that a little bit open. Let's, for now, work off the question that if the average person eats it without being filtered out, and that's the system that you're dealing with, and they don't see a barrier issue. Okay, we are just about out of time. We really should end here, but just to be makai my neder, so tell me, what's the malacha of tochen in English?
Grinding.
What does grinding mean?
Pulverizing.
Pulverizing. How would you say pulverizing in Hebrew?
Tochen.
Ketisha, probably, right? But ketisha might be identical to tochen. So who says that? Rashi, maybe. Depends on Rashi and Beitza, right. Who says it in Shabbos? Rabbeinu Chananel says it, right? So will Rashi and Beitza says it is tochen, or it's a told of
tochen?
Right?
Shabbos
said it's more like... Right, so that's possible as well. Okay, so we'll have to get to that tomorrow. So what does grinding mean so far? Maybe it means pulverizing. Does it mean anything else?
Might mean slicing.
Maybe slicing. So grinding itself might be an umbrella term for slicing.
Dicing.
Making smaller. Okay, making smaller or making...
Dividing,
right? So you're not shrinking something, but you're making it into two smaller pieces. That may very much be a part of the definition.
Or size pieces.
Or different size pieces. Okay, so this could be a major debate. There was one important sefer I wanted to bring in, and I left it on the shelf in the other building as I was walking here. So I see it's Bashert that we should get up to it today. So Baz Hashem, tomorrow will be our official introduction into the world of Tochen, but we were Mekayim starting it today. And I thank you for your indulgence in that tangential discussion. And you should have a fantastic day. See you tomorrow.
See you.